With hundreds of millions of dollars being spent by political campaigns during this year's election, hot-button issues like trustworthiness, tax returns, transparency, and temperament are all being discussed by the candidates. But there are numerous other matters that voters in Western North Carolina feel are also being ignored, from the bottom of the ballot to the top. After speaking with voters in Swain, Jackson, and Macon counties, the two issues which nearly all of them seem to share are jobs and education, regardless of whether or not they were decided or what their party affiliation was. The one thing that all of the voters had in common was that they felt there are issues the candidates are not addressing. One such voter is retired ecologist John Gladden, a Democrat in Macon County. Most of the things Gladden feels this year's candidates are ignoring are issues that hinder the efficiency of local government, issues like having better internet connectivity in the mountains, providing adequate educational funding, and improving PILT, that's P-I-L-T, or the Payment in Lieu of Taxes program. PILT was established in 1976 to provide rural counties containing sizable federal lands cash payments to offset the loss of tax revenues normally collected off of real estate.
If I were a county commissioner, it would really scare me because it's an annual appropriation. It has to be redone every year, and the numbers go up and down.
PILT funding is often used to fund basic public services, and Gladden says that county governments throughout the mountains struggle every year with their budgets because PILT dollars are erratically appropriated. So, county commissioners in areas like Macon County, which have sizable federal lands, often have no idea how much money they will be working with from year to year.
In 2015, all of the North Carolina counties got $3.9 million, and the year earlier, they got $4.2 million. You've got the budget you've got to work, the county operations, which is schools, police, medical care, so all the stuff that the county has to fund, and they've got this suspense hold sitting there. So if that money doesn't come through, then you got to scramble to cut something, or what they were hoping to get is actually funded.
While this is a problem Gladden says local leadership has done a decent job of trying to solve, he points out that they get no help from officials at the state or federal levels, something sorely needed to expedite PILT appropriations.
I've only heard one politician mention that this fall. It's a planning problem for the commissioners and the county government and their planning. It's a suspense item that they should not have to deal with. The amount of federal land is not going to change significantly. The counties know how much there is. The feds know how much there is. Why can't they just appropriate this on a long-term basis?
Instead of local politics, 21-year-old Swain County native Nico Chastain, a self-described New Age Republican, is concerned about the unique statewide issue of raising the age of juvenile majority to 18, and says he would like to hear gubernatorial candidates Roy Cooper or Pat McCrory take a position on the matter.
I think juvenile jurisdiction should be raised from 16 to 18. Every other state has done this except for New York. You're ruining a child's life. Once you're 16 and you're charged as an adult, that goes on your permanent record forever.
Chastain says that he would back whichever candidate advocated for raising the juvenile age to 18, citing not only how outdated the current law is, but also the economic implications it has on the state.
You can't get jobs or anything. The smallest mistake you make, whether it's shoplifting or whatever, you're being tried as an adult. It's unnecessary. It takes a huge toll on the taxpayers, having to lock up so many people in there.
Aside from the governor's race, Chastain says that, as a Donald Trump supporter, he would like to hear his candidate talk more about how he plans on accomplishing all the things he plans to do as president, like building the Mexican border wall.
Personally, I want to see him in office, but I don't think right now that's what's going to happen, because he's not showing us anything. I want to make sure that he's not just talking and no action.
However, unlike Chastain, for Cashers Charter School teacher Amy Broyhill, it's not so much about what Donald Trump isn't saying in this election as it is about how her candidate, Hillary Clinton, is responding to Trump.
I genuinely believe that this is the plight that hits my children the most when I talk about rape culture, because I feel like I'm teaching my boys, while it's inappropriate for them to do these things to females, the highest seat in power is telling them it's okay. When they watch Hillary Clinton shrug these things off, they too are supposed to shrug these things off. I think she's spending too much time being a career politician, and I think that if misogyny and rape culture is not at the heart of a woman's policy on the year she's running for president, then she's missing the mark.
Initially, Broyhill says that she was a Bernie Sanders supporter, and she maintains that she has strong reservations about Clinton. However, with the misogyny that she says she's seeing coming out of the Trump campaign, she feels she has no choice but to support Clinton, as her sixth grade students are easily impressionable.
This directly affects the students I teach. We discuss difficult subjects concerning women's rights from many different countries, such as Iran and India. However, when they begin to see correlations in these foreign concepts in their own culture, we are then expected to see what? Young men are learning these behaviors to be acceptable as well.
While social issues are important to people like Mrs. Broyhill, monetary policy is another matter in the back of many Western North Carolinians' minds as well. 26-year-old Randall Jano, a credit analyst from Clyde who describes himself as an unregistered 1950s-era Republican, wants to hear more from the candidates about their positions on the Federal Reserve, an issue he says has spent far too little time in the spotlight during this election.
The one thing that appeals to me from having a financial background is government involvement in the Federal Reserve in monetary policy. People tend to lean against gas prices, health insurance costs, and while those really do make a difference in your day-to-day income and what you can buy and how much money is left over, the more macroeconomic scale of what the Federal Reserve does in their policy makes a very vast difference in their quality of life, short and long term. And I think it's not addressed deeply enough as it should be.
Jano says while federal monetary policy isn't as exciting as social issues, it's just as important.
You know, there's always going to be the similar topics that people get hung up on and single issue voters get hung up on. But that's something that I think people are avoiding. To me, you know, I think the highlights of the election are typically social issues and then probably segue into tax. And then the next thing should be monetary policy.
Jano says that he needs to hear more from both of the presidential candidates regarding the Federal Reserve and how they'll use it during their presidency. And he recognizes strengths on either side. Two counties over, 23-year-old Jason Tindall is like many other millennials in Western North Carolina, an undecided independent voter who's really only concerned about economic issues at this point, and echoes Jano's concern that all other issues should be secondary.
I would like to hear them talk more about issues like minimum wage, employment, and basically just economics in general. I'm more interested in where the country is going.
Tindall is a resident of Macon County, where jobs are scarce, and is recently unemployed. And now that the tourist season is over, they're even harder to find. So during an election year, he's really eager to hear from either side what their economic plan actually is, and is currently leaning towards Clinton simply because her economic plan is far clearer than Trump's. However, he's concerned that she is too disingenuous and her opponent is too unrealistic, and he needs to hear more from them in these last few days of the election about economic matters rather than simple mudslinging.
When you turn on a TV and you see either of the candidates, neither of them are talking about this.
Finally, it should be noted that no matter what side of the issues these voters are on, the one thing they've all expressed is they're ready for this election season to finally be over. For WCQS News, I'm Davin Eldridge.